The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Wow, that's very good. Thank you, ladies, for that. That is absolutely fantastic. You can give me a little bit more volume, maybe turn a little bit more on these where I can hear myself. That would be super also. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 40. Book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 40, where the Bible says, "And he answered and said unto them," he says, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the Bible says the stones would immediately cry out. I want you to look in just a verse or two preceding that. Look at verse 37, and we're in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 37. The Bible says, and when he was come nigh, even now, it says, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude, it says, of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And of course, then you read down, if they had not rejoiced, here's where this verse comes into play. The Bible says if they had not rejoiced, then if they would have held their peace, the Bible says that even the stones would immediately cry out. You know, it is very neat to know how God would use things to be able to record things. I don't know all the ways that God records things. I know that God has a perfect record book. I know that. I know that there is not one deed that has ever been done by mankind that not only does God take note of, but that God also records. I believe that during the time of the white throne judgment, that there's going to be books that are going to be opened according to the scriptures, and people would be judged according to their works. Now, why? Because it's been recorded. The Bible talks about how there's the book of life, and it'll be open to see if those names are in there, and certainly will be, of those that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, may I say, recorded. A couple years back, we wanted to do something for our church to be able to give more of a security system here, and so we put security cameras up in strategic places in our hallway, and we hired this particular company to be able to come in and to be able to do that. And the day that they came in to install the security system, they had the wrong wiring, so they were not able to do it on that particular day. The next day, our church was broken into, and then they were going to come back the following day and put in the system. And I don't want you to read into that. I'm just saying that's exactly what happened. When they broke into my office, and for many years I've been a paper guy. I mean, I've just been a paper guy. And I've been, ever since the day I got saved, July 24th, 1979, I've kept journal notes. And I had put in logs, and sometimes I would log something in the journal. I would log something in twice a week, sometimes three times a week. Sometimes I'd wait until like a Friday or Saturday, and I'd put an entry in there, basically telling about God's goodness and how good God has been and all the things that God has done in our life and in our family's life. Well, years ago, I started to have these things typed up, and I had three hard drives that were stored in my desk. And of course, I got kind of fancy with some of the journal notes because of preachers that I was with. You know, I inserted pictures, and that way, you know, when I die, my family would be able to look back and say, well, Dad preached with this guy over here and this meeting, and there's a picture of the crowd that was there, the altar, and stuff like that. Well, when they broke in, they took those three hard drives. I cannot tell you, I was heartbroken. I mean, my wife and I, we got in our vehicle, didn't we, honey? And we drove down to all of these thrift, I don't know what you call them, but the pawn shops down here. And we went in pawn shop after pawn shop after pawn shop trying to retrieve, if they had pawned those things off, those things to be able. I wasn't concerned about all the sermons. I mean, I'm always preparing sermons, and I wasn't concerned about all the other things, but I sure did want those journal notes back to be able to do that. We lost those recordings. Now, can I tell you, watch this if you will, but God never loses his recordings. Yeah. Matter of fact, the Bible says here something very significant and very interesting here, where the Bible says that, I tell you, he says, if you were to hold your peace, he said the stones would immediately cry out. I had a scientific study that was done one day that I had read. I didn't do it, but I read the scientific study that they say that stones have the ability to be able to trap and keep sound. Now, to what degree that is, I don't know. But I do know this, that the Lord Jesus said here, he said that if the stones, if you were to hold your peace, even the stones themselves would cry out. So I want us to visit some places in history to be able to see if the stones were to contain the ability to be able to cry out, if the stones were able to record. And by the way, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if the stones were able to record sound? Wouldn't it be something that you say, boy, I tell you what, I'm in a room and it's just me and this other person and you're being critical, or maybe it's you and this other person and you're cheating on your income tax, or maybe it's you and this other person and you're trying to do something that's wrong, and all of a sudden God is recording that on stones. Wouldn't it be something if you were in a room and you were just rejoicing over the great things that God has done? I mean, you know, you're sharing prayer requests and you're sharing praise, and it's just a wonderful time of being able to remember the Savior and everything that God has done in your life. Wouldn't it be just something neat to be able to understand and possibly be able to remember the fact that God is just recording things. Now let's just look at some things here. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew, if you will, and I want us to see some things. And by the way, this is going to be true whether you would sit there today or not and say, well, you know, I don't really buy into that fact that the stones could record something, but can I tell you that these things, these events that I'm about to share with you happen whether the stones record them or not? And I want us to look at our Bible, and I want us to see some things. And here's the questions. If stones could talk, oh, by the way, if those that were witnesses could be alive today and they could testify. By the way, if individuals that passed it down from generation to generation to generation would be able to do that, what would they share? Now let's look at it. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, and when the tempter, that's the devil, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, and Jesus is speaking here, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me give you some statements. The stones on the mount of temptation. Now think about this. Here's what we could learn, and we're learning this because this is the solid rock on which we stand, and the Word of God is that which is sure. The Word of God is that which is proven. The Word of God is not up for testing this morning. It's already passed all tests and received straight A's. And so we're not putting the Word of God this morning in question. Here's what we are doing. We're looking at the Word of God and we're saying, here's some answers. Now, what are some answers? Here's some answers. The stones, if you would please, on the mount of temptation. What would they say about somebody being tempted? If they could speak, I believe they would say this: you need to use the Word of God. Because the Bible says that when Jesus Christ had the tempter to come onto him, here's what he did do. He said, it is written. You know, and being a counselor, a biblical counselor, and being able to help people to overcome significant problems in their life, I find it very interesting to understand the power of that which is the Word of God. Because it is the power of the Word of God that a person can use in their life to be able to overcome the tempter in their life. The Bible says it is written. What was he doing? The Lord Jesus Christ, when facing the tempter in his life, he spoke that which was the written Word of God. I find it very interesting to be able to help people with such things as anger, or such things as bitterness, or such things as unforgiveness, or such such things, if you would please, as a lack of love or maybe sin or maybe another type of problem that they're facing in their life. And I find it very interesting as they were to take that verse and find that word in that verse and then take this other verse and find that word in that verse and take this other verse and find that word in that verse, and they commit that to memory and to life. And as they do that, they're able to overcome the tempter in their life because there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. God's Word does not return void. This is not some type of other book that we're viewing here this morning. This is not a math book, and this is not a science book, and this is not a reading book, and this is not a social studies book. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God is more powerful, more quicker, and is quicker and powerful than any type of other instrument, any type of other sword, or any type of other word. It is the Word of God. It is grounded. It is settled. It is settled in heaven. It is settled here. And so when the tempter comes and the tempter knocks at your door, whether it's in the afternoon or the late evening hour, can I tell you, when you pick up the Word of God and you allow the Word of God to be able to be spoken and to be able to be memorized and to be able to be acted out in your life, can I tell you that it will cause the tempter to flee? Now, so statement number one, the stones on the Mount of Temptation. Statement number two, the stones there at the marriage supper of Cana. Can you imagine this here? The Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, and there was said, it says, there are six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. All right, so here's what we understand here that's taking place. Can you imagine the provision? I mean, if somebody was there that day witnessing, an individual was witnessing that day, wouldn't you think that they'd be astonished at how God provided? God provided through His Son, how He took those water pots of water and He turned them not into alcoholic beverage, by the way. The Bible says that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever devoureth is not wise. And so can I tell you that we're not supposed to go out and taste liquor on our lips. We're not supposed to do that. That'll ruin you. That'll ruin your family. That'll ruin your relatives. That'll ruin your opportunity of service in the future. You're not supposed to do that. I was on a plane not too long ago, and I witnessed to this man, and he said he was a believer. He said he was a Christian, and so we rejoiced together in the fact that both of us was going to go to heaven. And here come the stewardess walking down the aisle, and she said, "Would you like to buy something to drink?" And she was selling liquor. And he said, "Oh yeah," just like it was nothing. He said, "Oh yeah, I'd like to buy that." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" I said, "I thought you just told me you were a Christian." He said, "Well, I did." I said, "No, buy that." He looked at me and he thought, "What do I do?" But he decided for some reason not to buy it. You say, "Well, preacher, you think that maybe Christians ought not to." You're right. I think that Christians ought not to. You can make better decisions sober than you can drunk. You can have a better testimony for Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. See, here's what we do. We look at the sins that we're not committing and we say they're bad. But can I tell you, your casual sins is just as wicked and just as evil and just as dark and just as wrong as those that are done in secret corners that man would say are wicked, dark, and evil. Why don't we have a generation that just decides you're going to have a bright testimony for Jesus Christ than a questionable one? See, here's the thing. We understand this. If those stones could talk, or if somebody was alive today and they could witness on the Mount of Temptation, they would be able to witness the fact that when the tempter came, our Lord Jesus Christ looked at the tempter and said this, "It is written." And can I tell you, when the tempter comes in your life, you have that which is quicker and powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. You have that which is the Word of God, and that Word of God can help you. That Word of God can give you what you need. And it's not because of your power. It is because of the power of that which is contained in the Word of God through, yea, the Holy Spirit giving personal application. And can I tell you, God is stronger than your problem. Amen. So what do? When the tempter comes, you quote Scripture. What do you do all of a sudden when you need God to provide in your life? Realize that Jesus Christ can still provide. Amen. He's not dead. He's very much alive. Thank you. Amen. Can I tell you, He can provide. He's the same God that can answer prayer. He's the same God. Oh, come on now. Let me talk to you a little bit. Can I just say that we're not in a funeral home today? Mrs. Williams went home to be with the Lord just a couple of days ago, and I love Mrs. Williams. We called her Granny. Now I'd always stop, and she'd always wait for me down there, and there's burgundy tears down by my office, and she's faithful Christian, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Brother Craig did a wonderful job in preaching that sermon. He was requested to preach that, and did a wonderful job in being able to do that and to honor her and to honor the family and to honor the Lord. But I remember stopping down in the hallway down here, and Mrs. Williams would say, "One day we're going to sing together." And I would say, "Mrs. Williams, I've got to do a lot of practicing before we would ever sing together. I don't want to embarrass you." And she'd say, "Oh, preacher, you'd never embarrass me." You know? And then she'd give me a lollipop. Now, wait a minute, watch this. I'm saying this, that I watched God do a miracle in her life as she received Christ 2 years ago. And I watched her come faithful to church. And I watched all of a sudden, because before she got saved, her countenance was a little bit different than it was after she started coming to church. And there's something about coming to church that will help you. And I watched her countenance begin to change as she began to fellowship around sold-out Christians, and as she began to get a burden to witness to people, and begin to get a burden, and was encouraged by many of you as brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to encourage her to live for Christ and to be faithful to the Lord and to witness for God and to pass out gospel tracts, until the point that just, I think, 1 week or 2 weeks before she went home to be with the Lord, she had a visitor sitting beside her right here in church that walked down the aisle and received Jesus Christ. Say, "You know, preacher, I'm looking for miracles." I just told you about one. Amen. The greatest miracle of all is when somebody receives Jesus Christ. Amen. "Well, you know, I'm trying to find a church where all of a sudden somebody can lay hands on somebody and they can do the jig and then fall down and fall out and rise up and be healed." Well, first off, I don't think that anybody ought to have to go through falling down in order to be healed. Amen. Sounds like that would hurt in the process of being healed. But God is a God that answers prayer. God is a God that can help. And here we see a wonderful miracle here as He turned that which was the water into that which was the wine. Or what about if the stones could cry out there at Jacob's well? John chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says that Jacob's well, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied," it says, "with His journey," and it says, "sat thus on the well," and it was about the sixth hour. So here Jesus is traveling, and Jesus is weary, and Jesus is tired, and He finds a place to sit. But Jesus, like Jesus in many cases, you're always witnessing. You're always carrying tracts. When I was preaching at the National Sword Conference, I opened up my shirt, and I said, "You know what this is? This is a track holder. You know what this is? This is a track holder. You know what this is back here? That's a track holder." I said, "You know, you ought to pass that tracts everywhere you go." Hey, come on. Just because you go to church doesn't mean it ought to stop there. Amen. You know, you ought to pass out tracts and give out the good news and give out the gospel everywhere you go. And you don't have to know much in order to do that. You can just lay them down. They'll take care of themselves. You can put them in an envelope as you pay your bills, and you might be surprised at somebody opening that envelope that needs Christ, that's thinking about suicide or thinking about something else. And when they open that all of a sudden that envelope, if you pay your bills the old-fashioned way and sending off checks, if there is such a way that's still done that way today, and you put those tracts inside of there. I don't know how you do it if you're paying your bills on email. I don't know how that would work. But now I'm saying the stones at Jacob's well. Hey, what was happening here? He was weary. He was thirsty. He was wore out. But yet he took time. Here comes this woman of Samaria. He takes time to talk with her. He takes time to witness to her. And can I tell you that we ought to be a gospel witness everywhere we go. If you're sick, if you're well, if you're not making a lot of good money, or you're making excellent money, or if you're busy, if you're not busy, if you're tired, if you're not tired, you ought to give your best for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying the stones at Jacob's well. I wonder what they would say. I think they would say this. I think they would say, you know, he's weary. Bible says that. We can agree on that. I think they would say, saw him witness. I think they could say that. And we've got that recorded in our Bible, by the way. I don't have to try and bring out a stone and tap it. Say, speak to me. By the way, if I did that, most of you would think I'm crazy and you would probably stone me. But we do know this to be true. You have a recording of that which is in the Bible. By the way, can I talk to you a little bit? That is better than a stone.
Amen. Amen.
That is better than a stone. See, the Bible talks here about that which took place on the Mount of Temptation. Use the Word of God when it comes to being tempted. When it comes to believing, can God still do a miracle? He did it there in Cana. Can God be the one that will bring somebody else to the Lord Jesus Christ? He did it at Jacob's well. Can God use you when you're weary? He can. Can God use you when you're tired? He can. Can you use things in your life that is relative today for the sake of the gospel and bringing people to the Lord Jesus? Yes, he can. All right, statement number next. What about the stones at the temple court? The Bible talks about there in John chapter 8 and verse 7, the Bible says, and when they continue asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Here was a woman living a very sinful life. She was living, if you would please, such a life of promiscuity, such a life of sexual involvement, that it was a disgrace to even those that were surrounding her. There was those that said she needed to be stoned, and I believe Jesus, of course, looking onward, would be able to say, hey, wait a minute, before you stone her, let anybody here that has not sinned cast the first stone. You know, we need to learn to take care of us. Hello? Stop walking around pretending you're God when you're not. Well, I wish so-and-so would get their life right. Straighten yours up first, honey. You know, you decide that, you draw a circle around yourself and say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. By the way, if we would learn to take care of ourselves, life would be a whole lot better. And by the way, you would enjoy life better. Amen. Well, so and so, they're not living up to, you're not either. Except yours is a different up to. You have different up to's. Well, you know, the reason that I'm not faithful to church, and the reason I don't read my Bible, and the reason that I don't forgive people, and the reason that I don't pass out gospel tracts is because I got hurt so many years ago, and that's how come I'm not faithful to Jesus Christ. That's a lousy excuse for you to give as a backslider. Backsliders have some of the most lousy excuses I've ever seen in my life. Well, you know, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault. Hey, you know, if we get sweet with the Lord Jesus Christ and we get right with the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, we'd have a different outlook on life simply because he becomes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives. Here he is in the temple court and all these guys are rising up and saying, hey, we need to stone her. And he looks up and maybe he wrote their names in the sand. But he looked up and he said, hey, wait a minute. Let he that has no sin whatsoever cast the first stone. And by the way, why don't we decide to help each other instead of trying to stone each other? Put your stones away and help somebody. Well, my wife, she's not what she ought to. Put your stone away. Well, my husband, he's not what he... Put your stone away. Well, that preacher, he's disappointed me. Put all your stones away. But you just decide to put those stones away. Look, give your parents a break. They're human. They're not perfect like you are. Give your Sunday school teacher a break. He or she is human. They're not perfect. They've not arrived like you have. Stop being somebody that walks around with a sickle trying to cut everybody's fingers off. Toes off, nose off, ears off. Getting painful yet? Stop being somebody that puts yourself so highly elevated. Your underarm still does stink. Hello? Man, I hope our church never gets so uppity.
Yeah.
I'm somebody. I got a nice suit. I got nice shoes. I hope we never get that way. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to take a poll right now because they might embarrass me. But these guys are on platform staff. You know, now they'd probably do it anyway, just like some of you do. Wear suits to church and whatnot. That's the old-timey way. It's funny, I take my wife on a date. I'll dress up. We dress up for things important to us. So it doesn't matter to God. We're not talking about God right now. We're talking about we dress up for things that's important to us. Amen. Talk about our relationship to Him, not His relationship to us. Amen. If I was to enter into the president's presence, no matter who the president might be, because he holds that esteemed office, that position, if you would please, as that which is the chief of our nation and holds that supreme position, I'd probably look my best. But can I tell you, Jesus Christ is more important than the president. And so we understand, if I gave these guys a liberty and I said, now look, you can dress any way you want to the church. You know, I don't know what they'd show up like. He'd probably have on shorts and a toupee. I have no idea what you do. Yeah, he'd probably have on some type of, let's not go any farther. Stoned in the temple court. And so he knew what it was to forgive. You said, so and so, they're throwing stones at me. Okay, number one, duck. Number two, forgive. But don't throw it back. Come on, I've been preaching for 31 years. You think I've ever been criticized? You think I've ever had somebody to throw the book at me on Facebook? I've had magazine articles written about me. I've had all sorts of stuff. Now, by the way, I know this, it comes with the territory, because if they did that to the Lord Jesus Christ, right, then who am I to be any better?
Right.
But I don't have to do it back.
Right.
I don't have to get mad. I don't have to get bitter. You know, sinners will still be sinners.
Right.
Sinners do sin. And there's not a person in here that's not a sinner. So what you say, well, preacher, when somebody does something against me, what should I do? Smile. Now, don't smile in their face. Don't do that. You're provoking them. I'm not saying be dumb. Somebody does something against you, you get that big old cheesy grin. They're going to smack you. Then you won't have teeth to smile. But you can forgive. You really can. You can forgive. You don't have to, somebody slashed my tires and I know who did it. I'm going to go get them and I'm going to slash their tires. No, why don't you take them out for breakfast instead? Why don't you send them a gift card? Why don't you buy them a Bible? Why don't you do something nice for them? You're supposed to bless those that persecute you. Do all evil against you. Be nice to them. Well, man, they slam dunked me on Facebook and they tweeted all over Twitter. Well, that doesn't matter that you have to tweet on that. That doesn't even sound masculine. You don't have to tweet back. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying the stones there on the Mount of Temptation, what did it do? It taught us how to overcome the tempter. The stones, if you would please, or the response, if you will, not the stones, but the response to the tempter, we see, which is the Word of God, helps us to overcome the tempter. At the marriage of Canaan, what did we learn? We learned there was a miracle there, and God can provide. At that which is Jacob's well, we learn the Savior had his mission, and he did not divert from his mission. He was still a soul winner, no matter what. There at the temple court, we learned that he displayed forgiveness, and we ought to also. Let me just give you a couple more, and I'm done. You ready? Here we go. I like this one. What about there at the tomb of Lazarus? If you were there at the tomb, if the stones did witness, if anybody could, now we've got the Word of God, which is the true witness. What happened there? What did we learn there? Well, we learned that the power of God can overcome any, stay with me, obstacle. The power of God is more powerful than any obstacle. Even that in this case, which was the obstacle of death. Here's the story. John chapter 11 and verse 39, the Bible says, and Jesus said, he said, take ye away the stone. The Bible says, Martha, it says, the sister of him that is dead saith on him, Lord, says, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And don't take away the stone, Lord, it's going to stink. You know, my brother's been dead for 4 days. Watch this. In verse 43, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I believe at that time, because of the power of that which is God himself, if he would have said, come forth, every saved person would have came out of the grave. So he had to identify Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says in verse 44, the Bible says, and he that is dead came forth, bound, it says, hand and foot, it says, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with the napkin, and Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. You know, there's an old custom that they would have when you would get done eating, you would fold the napkin and you would place it to the side of the plate, and basically what that was is, I'm done eating this portion, I'm going to go maybe wash my hands, get a drink or whatever, and come back. I'm not finished yet, I am going to come back. So you would fold it and just put it to the side. Well, can I say, here he was, and everybody thought that it was finished, everybody thought it was over, everybody thought, okay, it's done, but Jesus is the one that decides whether it's done or not. How many times have I been beside the bedside of somebody who's dying of cancer, and all of a sudden they're going down, it seems like for the last time, and they're drowning, and then all of a sudden God just expands that life, and they live a couple more days until a neighbor gets there, or until a friend gets there, or until a relative gets there. What is that? That's God. That's God. How many times have we seen businesses start to go out of business, and all of a sudden a dear businessman will come to my office, and we'll get on our knees and we'll begin to pray that God would provide and that God would sustain, and all of a sudden a miracle takes place, and God provides something that's extra special, and that thing just continues to go. Can I tell you, it is very, very important that you understand that God is the one here, that God's word, that God's power. Oh man, I'm getting ready to get a divorce. I don't know what to do, preacher. It just seems like that everything is going wrong, but God can intervene. Amen. God can work. Oh, I got a child and the child is rebellious and I just can't do anything, but God can. Amen. God can. Oh, but you don't understand, preacher. Our finances are in such a mess. I'm getting ready to lose my house. Have you prayed about it? Have you talked to God about it? Have you asked God to help you? Why don't you go to the one that can help you? We try and do everything ourselves. Jeremiah, come here if you will. Here's what we do. We carry all these loads. Get on my back. We carry all these loads. We just carry all these loads all the time. Microphone's down. Help. We carry all these loads all the time. And man, can I tell you, it gets heavy. You know, I come to church, oh, I'm so burdened. Oh, I'm not going to make it. Oh, we go home, oh, I'm just having such a hard time. And by the way, the, The longer you carry your burdens, the more heavier they get. Mm-hmm. The longer you try to bear them by yourself, the worse it gets. Hello? You know, why can't you ask God to help you with your burden instead of complaining? Instead of giving up? Throwing in the towel? By the way, when you throw in the towel, who gets the victory? Go ahead and quit church. Who do you think is going to laugh at you? By the way, what's that going to do for your children? Go ahead and quit your ministry. Throw it in. Who just won? Who won? Who was the one that you couldn't trust to give victory? And so here we are, you know, oh, living the Christian life is so hard. Oh, I'm having such a difficult time. Oh, it's just so hard. Oh, I'm so struggling. But why can't you let God help you? I'm not saying He's going to take away your burden, but here's what God can do. God can help you every single step of the way. God is powerful. God is strong. God can help you. But you have to decide to go to God and let God help you. Okay, get off because God's helping me. Thank you. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. I've got five more. I don't have time for all of them. I'll give you one. I'm done. Let's go back to the Mount of Olives. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, and they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now watch this. Look at verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. So here's what's taking place. Here he is on the Mount of Olives. It's being taken up. These disciples are witnessing that. Here we see that the Bible teaches that as they're being instructed, as they're gazing, like, okay, it's over, that he shall come again. Amen. Oh, but preacher, you understand our nation? We're in trouble! He shall come again. But it just seems like that everything is getting worse and worse and worse. He shall come again. Amen. See, you and I are on the victor's side.
Amen.
I said this, now I'll close. When I was a young boy, of course, I grew up on that 280-acre farm in Millers, Maryland for a little while and fell in love with horses. Fell in love with roping steers and all sorts of stuff, and not as a six-year-old little boy, but as I go back and visit. But I remember so well some of the things that I did when I was just a young teenager and stuff like that. And I remember looking forward to going and visiting the farm. I look forward to it. Just couldn't wait to get there. There was just something about entering into Myrtle Wagner's life, Lottie Wagner's life, and David Wagner's life that I look forward to. There was something about their countenance. There was something about their presence. There was something about the outlook they had on life. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. There was just something about that that I could not wait to get there. But that was my spirit. That was my spirit. I don't know what their spirit was like, but I could tell you what my spirit was like. My spirit was, well, I can't wait to get in their presence. I can't wait. You know, still today, I have that presence, that spirit, that desire about church, about being around Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, about helping people, about going out soul winning. I'm not a difficult man really to understand. I'm a very simple man. But I love helping people. I love walking beside somebody when they're having trouble and saying, hey, come on, we can do it. We can do it. God can help us. We can make it through. It'll be okay. I love being able to do stuff like that. Now, can I tell you, listen, What is it that one day somebody will testify about me? What is it that one day somebody's going to testify about you? We saw these testimonies about the Lord Jesus Christ. These testimonies about how people witnessed what was taking place, recorded in the Word of God for all eternity to be able to read, understand, and cherish. But what about your life? What if those stones could talk? What if somebody witnessed and they stayed around for 100 years after you died and they gave witness of who you were really like? What do you like around your husband, your wife? What do you like around your children, your parents? What do you like around your employer, employee? What do you like around the church folk? What do you like? Are you somebody that helps somebody get closer to Christ, or do you just pull them down? I hope that you can have the same type of witness as yet Christ has left for us.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.